Morning. We come to praise him, lift him up, put everything in God's hands, right? Everything in the hands of the Lord. I always want to be ready and willing to move as the Holy Spirit wants to move. We can get so busy and caught up in how things should be done instead of how God wants them done. And so we have to take that time out of our schedule sometimes and call those audibles, let God touch people's lives and do the things that we need to do to pray with people and to minister to people, right? Amen? Yes. Praise God. I want to bring something to you this morning. One of our missionaries that a lot of you know, Becky Adams. Her quick backstory, if you don't know or don't remember, is a few years back, she was on the mission field with her husband, Assembly God missionary on the mission field with her husband, and her husband decided he no longer wanted to be a man, he wanted to be a woman. And of course, she had to come off the mission field for that, and then, of course, he's done all of his, you know, he's been doing all kinds of stupid surgeries and different things. Well, the kids have to go by court order with their dad during the summer to Arizona. And of course, you know, they're working hard to radically hard to try to get these kids to accept that which is unnatural to be natural. And she had to take her kids there, bring them back, so on and so forth. It costs money. Missionaries can be on a fixed budget. We give to Becky. We're very generous with Becky, but I do know that she could use a little bit extra funds during this time. And if you have it, if the Lord's laid it on your heart to give a little extra in the offering this morning to missions, specifically for Becky, this will go directly to her to help her with her travel expenses back and forth, picking up her kids and all those things. If you'd like to do that, please put that in the offering back there, or if you want to give it online, just denote that it's for Becky, and we will send that to her. That is above what we're already giving to her and all of our other missionaries on a monthly basis. But if you feel the Lord impressing on you to give a little bit, it may be $5, you know, $5, you know, 25 times adds up pretty quickly. So if you feel that in your heart, please do that this morning. Give online at unlimitedchurch.tv or give back there at the end of the service in the box in the back, and we will bless her with whatever God gives through us. Praise God. What is our vision, everybody? Our vision is what? To be a safe place for people to experience the presence of God and to be set free, healed, discipled, equipped, empowered, and serving in his church. Praise God. And that's what we're doing. And, you know, for those of you who weren't here on Wednesday night, we're equipping our first honor-bound motorcycle ministry in this church. And we got the patch already given by the honor-bound men. It's great what God's doing there. So you need to tell people, hey, because we're the only honor-bound club in Central Arkansas, Little Rock area, right? Isn't that crazy? I was talking to our missionary and chaplain, Howard Rainey, and he said he's been trying to get at least one club here in Central Arkansas. And this mega church right here in Maumelle is the first one to get it going. And Brother Rainey, we've been supporting him for 7 years. So you think he's been trying for 7 years, and now we're the ones. And hopefully we can see some other ones sprout up across the Central Arkansas location. But if not, we're here. Now people, men of God, have a place to go to be in ministry. And that's empowering people, right? We're empowering those that might not be empowered in other areas. Listen, ministry is unconventional. This idea that ministry is just one way and it's always traditional and it's always just this one way, that's not the way it is. I mean, we're supposed to become all things to all people so that we can save a few, right? And so that is one of the things that I've been praying for 7 years for a motorcycle ministry. For those of you who don't know, I don't ride a motorcycle, but I've had a heart from day one. That's why we have been supporting Brother and Sister Rainey all this time, is because the Lord told me to, number one. I mean, I saw him at district council and I was like, Brother Rainey, the Lord said that we're going to support you. We're not even started yet, but we're going to support you, okay? And we called him in, and we're going to have him come in later this year on a Sunday morning. We're going to pull a couple of bikes in here and set them in front of the stage, and he's going to come in and talk about the ministry and preach to us. He's very busy during this time because it's a warm time of the year. You can go out and ride. When it slows down a little bit, he's going to come. I told him we'll open up the pulpit to him to come because he hasn't been here in 7 years. Cannot believe it's been 7 years, but we've been supporting him all that time, and great to see what God's doing in one of our missionaries. One of our 14 missionaries that we support, praise the Lord for all of you that give on a monthly basis. We give $1,500 a month to missions right now. Praise God, church. Now, that's just what we give on a monthly basis. That's not the extra that we give. We give a lot more than that, but praise God for that. As a matter of fact, don't forget we have Speed the Light this year. What is our goal again this year? $3,000? $3,000. So the young people will be hitting you up, literally. They will be attacking you and robbing you for missions. No, I'm just led pipes for Jesus. Put on the gloves, right? That's what David said. We're putting the gloves on, right? Praise God. Well, we're going to this morning we're going to complete our series Image of Christ. Image of Christ. It probably won't be a long message this morning. We'll see. As God wills, but we're going to go back through these three verses, three main verses that we've been talking about throughout it. James 1, 22 through 24 says, but don't just listen to God's word, obey or do as it says, otherwise you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, forget what you look like. Genesis 1, 27 says, we're created, God created us, human beings in his own image, in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And James 2, 26 says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And then we talk about what is an image. Remember, it's a representation of the form of a person, one that closely or exactly resembles another, or it is to mirror or reflect. And now what we've been talking about the last few weeks, and even been talking about it kind of accidentally on Wednesday nights, it was not exactly, I didn't plan it that way, just as we've been going through Ephesians, we've been talking about being an image or imager of Christ. And it is so important in this world today to differentiate Christianity from being a Christian. We have to differentiate Christianity from being a Christian because the world has labeled people as this is Christianity. No, we want to be a Christian. We want to be like those in Antioch who were first called Christians because they looked and they acted and they sounded like Christ. And that's what we want to be. We want to be different. I don't want to make a judgment on any other church. I want to make a decision, and I want to make a plea, and I want to push you to be different. It doesn't matter what is accepted in the Christian world. Let me tell you something. When you listen to Christian music, I love Christian music. Praise God for Christian music. But can I tell you, in the Christian music world today, it is a billion-plus-dollar industry. Lots and lots of money is made. There was a video put out during the pandemic, I think, by one of the artists, and it was Modest is Hottest. It was just a fun video. But because the song angered Christians, can you find the video now? They pulled it down. They got rid of the song. Was it Matthew West? Who was it? Matthew West? Listen, I love Matthew West. I think he's great. But do you get that? Because Christians were offended that somebody would say being modest is hot. Oh, you're being judgmental. You're doing this, that, and the other. It became a big deal. Well, listen, the Christian music industry is a for-profit industry. It's a for-profit industry. It's not a Keith Green days. Keith Green, if you don't know who Keith Green is, he's one of my guys that I look back to. Sadly enough, he died pretty much the year I was born, I think, in 1979, but he's somebody I've listened to all my life, love his testimony, love what he did, his wife. One of the things they did is he went to Sparrow Records and he says, listen, I don't want to sell my music anymore. He had a contract with Sparrow Records. He was probably, if not the biggest star, he was a rising star. He was a child prodigy, I mean, before he even became a Christian. And so in the music industry, when it came into Christianity, he was singing these songs and he was selling albums left and right. And he goes to the owner of Sparrow Records, and I love what he said. The owner, he said, listen, if Keith Green said that God wanted him to do something, who am I to stand in the way? And so Keith said, I want to stop selling my records. I want to stop doing that. I want to give them away. Well, how are you going to pay for it? Well, God will take care of it. God will take care of it. The bad thing is a lot of the places that sold his merchandise, they didn't want to have to sell his merchandise anymore because they weren't going to have any money or guaranteed money off of it. And so Keith started giving his giving it away to people. People would write him and say, hey, can I have this record? Can I have this record? And he would say, yeah, he would send in. And sometimes he'd get nothing, and then sometimes he'd get a big check that would cover the cost of all the stuff that he was sending out. But today in the music industry, and again, I love Christian music, it is a money-making machine, okay? So when we talk about being Christians, not just living in Christianity, but being Christians, being like the image of Christ, we have to look at that we're different. And I hope that over the last few weeks that you're realizing that we have to be different, that we have to look different, we have to sound different than the world. There's a mega church in Tulsa, and it was started, the church had been there for years, but a few years ago, a pastor took it over, and sadly enough, he took it so far that at Easter time, if you watched his Easter service, it was this huge production, and it was almost demonic. It was so nasty. But you would know people flocked to that church. People flocked to that church. Jesus did not say, if you are my disciples and if you love me, people are going to be like, hey, let's follow him. Let's go, let's go, let's do it. And so today in the Christian world, especially the Western culture, Christianity, we have so many people who say, hey, what the number is to make a good determination if we're effective or not is how many seats are in, or how many people are in the seats. And I say, that is not a good determination. That being said, we should not sit back and go, well, praise God, we got five people here. We don't need any more. I don't believe that. Let me tell you something. We got a message that's great. We have a church that's great. We have the ability to pray for people at the start of the service, at the end of the service, or during the week. Okay? I believe what we have here is amazing. It's awesome. But Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. I've told you this. That was with the backdrop of a cross. Today, we see a cross. We put it up on a screen or somewhere else. If you come to my house, we got the wall of crosses at my house that my wife has. When you walk in, right behind the couch. So you know if you sit on my couch, you better be good because you don't want God to hit you with one of those crosses. You know, yeah, you better be obedient. We have all this, and it's beautiful. I love it. But the early Christians, when they were being discipled, and they're like, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow him. And they're looking at the backdrop of all these Christians hanging on crosses going, I don't know if I want to do that or not. And so when you made that decision, you knew that you may be one of those people that is hanging up on that cross. It meant something totally different than what we look at it today. It's totally different. So as we close out this series, we're going to have three things this morning. So number one, we're gonna finish this thing out in a good way. Number one, show God's grace to others. Show God's grace to others. Remember the acronym for grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Show God's grace to others. Matthew 7, 1 through 6. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye? How can you think of saying to your friend, Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye. Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to the pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. So he says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Now, this has been taken out of context by so many people. Because you start to tell somebody, hey, this is wrong. Oh, don't judge me. You know what? Every one of us makes judgments every day. Right? What you put on your body, what color clothes that you wear. If you're Sean, it don't matter. But, you know, that's right. Black, that's right. Black or blue. What do you put on your body? We make a judgment every day. Am I going to go to work? Am I going to stay home? We make judgments every day. So this idea, well, we're not supposed to judge. We always judge. And the thing is when it comes to Scripture, the Scripture doesn't change. So this Scripture has been taken out of context to say, oh, hey, you know what? If you want to do, you know, if you want to live with your boyfriend and girlfriend, if y'all want to live together before you're married, no big deal. Sex before marriage, we can't judge you. Oh, but, you know, you want to steal? We better not say nothing then. Come on now. So we always like to put our approval on things that we are okay with, and then we don't like what is not, you know, what we don't care for. We don't approve of that. Right? But here's the deal. When Jesus is saying this, he's not saying, oh, go do what you want to do. As a matter of fact, he says, hey, even though more grace abounds where more sin is, does not mean you should sin more. That's not what he's saying. What is he saying? Well, when we look at the context of the Scripture, he's talking about the outward appearance of things. So you're around somebody, I've told this story before, you're around somebody and they do or say something that is, you're like, I don't like that. It's wrong because I don't like it. Because they're supposed to be this way, they're supposed to look this way, they're supposed to sound this way. Somebody walks into the church, has tattoos on. Well, you know, not they can't be a Christian. You see, God looks on the heart and the intent of the heart too. Not just the heart, but the intent of the heart. He looks on the inside to see where is your heart with him? Where is your heart with him? Now, I tell people all the time when I will talk about Scripture, I cannot tell you if you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. Okay, I can't judge you to hell. That's judgment. Judgment is saying, Sax, you're going to hell. I can't do that. But what I can do is say, the Word of God says that if you are living a life outside of God's Word, if you are girlfriend and boyfriend, you're living together and sleeping together, you're outside of God's Word. Did I judge you? No. The Bible just judged you. Because we have to make our determinations and our decisions on how we live for Christ based on what Scripture says, not what we feel. Anyway, going back to that story, my cousin comes into church. The pastor sits there, and my cousin has shorts on, and the pastor says, you go home because you can't be in church with shorts on. You know better than that. And my cousin never came back to church. Died in his sin. Because a pastor was more concerned about the outward than he was of what God was doing on the inside of that person. Somebody walks into the church and they reek of marijuana. What do? Get out. No, we don't. We say, come in. Now you go, well, you know, we're supposed to be, this place is supposed to be holy. This is a place of worship. That's right. I say, devil, stay out. People come in. Devil stay out, people come in. Christy and I, we had a friend. We became friends. We were college and career pastors in a church, and we became friends with this couple. And this this young lady at the time, because she was our age, because we were young at the time, she'd come to church, and just the things that she wore just wasn't appropriate. But, you know, we didn't go to her and say, you need to go change your clothes. Instead, Christy just kept on loving her, and we'd eat with them, we'd do things, and we saw God just continuing to grow her and moving her. And eventually, you know what? She started wearing stuff that was more appropriate, stuff that didn't show everything off. And did we tell her how to dress? No. Did Christy tell her how to dress? No. We just kept on loving her, and she kept on watching, and she saw an example of a woman, Christy. She saw an example of a woman, saw how this was, because she didn't grow up this way. She didn't understand these things. When we're around people and we hear certain things come out of their mouth, come on now, we hear certain things come out of their mouth, you go, well, they can't be saved. Have you ever made a mistake? Maybe instead we need to love that person and pray for that person and say, hey, you know what? There's a different way. There's a different way. We're not supposed to judge others or we'll be judged. We need to look at what's the plank in our own eye, because don't we have that a lot today? Even if you're not in church, isn't there a lot of judgment out there? A lot of it. Man, all that's on social media, constantly judging, constantly, oh, well, they must be. Where are we supposed to be at? Did the Lord say we're supposed to be looking at those people and making judgments about them? Are we supposed to be praying for them and being there for them? What's happened is what it turns into is gossiping and slander and hatefulness. And you know what I'm saying? This is what it turns into, anger. Because we're judging instead of saying, hey, where can we find a common ground? Where can we see where the heart is? How can we lead that person to Christ? Or maybe that person is a Christian, but we're judging them. Maybe that person is a Christian, but we're judging them. And we need to look at ourselves, and we need to go, wait a minute, where am I messing up? Where am I messing up? You know, the old days, we'd have these things called testimony services, and people would stand up and they go, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done in my life. And inevitably, somebody would stand up, Miss So-and-so would stand up and say, I just want to praise God for what he's done in my life, and we need to be praying for so-and-so. And you're like, oh, no. What? This isn't a prayer service, and it's definitely not a gossip service. Need to pray for so-and-so. I've seen they've been going through some things. You can see it. And, of course, they're not here at church tonight, so let's just be lifting them up in prayer. We've grown up with this attitude that, hey, I've got to show you how much better I am than you are. Because I am better than you are. Right? We think so. But you know, my salvation is like filthy rags. I'm having to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. That's what the scripture says. Each and every one of us. Does that not mean that we're not called to live a life of holiness and righteousness? Yes, we are. Sure we are. But let me tell you something. If Jason comes in this morning, he's going through something, and I judge him, I'm not going to get anywhere with Jason. But if he comes in and I see he's going through something, I put my arm around him and say, hey, brother, what can I pray with you about today? Hey, brother, how can I love you today? Maybe if I call somebody up and I say, hey, let's go have lunch today. Let's go talk. Let's hang out. Instead of judging them going, yeah, well, I knew it. They messed up. They're no good. We've had that too long. Since the church began 2,000 years ago, it's been going on. The Gentiles, you had the Gentiles and the Jews. The Jews were judging the Gentiles. The Gentiles were judging the Jews. They were constantly, oh, well, you're not doing it our way, so therefore you're wrong. It can't be, you're not righteous, you're not holy, because you're not doing it our way. And Jesus had to take a lot of time explaining this, and then the Apostle Paul had to take a lot of time, and then you know what? Even Paul and Peter had their little rift at one point. See, we all have to learn. So when you look at it, you go, oh man, I struggle in this area. That's okay. We're all going to learn. We got to look in the scripture and say, well, wait a minute. There was this thing for a long time. And if you're still old style Pentecostal or United Pentecostal, they still believe this way. There's this thing a long time that the women had to wear dresses and they had to have long hair or they weren't going to heaven. They're sinning. And I love this one pastor friend of mine, Assembly of God pastor friend. He was studying one day in the scripture, and he's like, as he was studying, and we get more knowledge and understanding of the customs and manners of the day. And he looked there and he goes, it says that I'm supposed to dress like a man. Well, back then, men wore dresses. Honey, you can cut your hair and you can wear pants if you want to this Sunday. You know, this is the thing. We take things out of context. When we start judging people, we start making a determination that we know what's in their heart. Did you hear what I said? We start making a determination that we know what's in their heart. I call it assumptions. We start assuming we know. We know. This Thursday night, I had the privilege of marrying Claudia and Dublis. In Sachs and Elise and Sherelle were here with us. Dublis works for me. And had that opportunity to marry them. Just this little ceremony was really special. But I love what he said to me later in the day. We took him out for dinner. And I love what he said to me because we had some problems on a job. And he's like, I want to make sure to do it right. I don't want you to get mad at me. And then he says, but I've never seen you mad. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. Because sometimes inside, breathe. But why? When he said that, why was it important to me? Why did it make me feel good? Because I'm working hard for everybody, whether they barely speak English or they can speak Southern just like I can. I'm working hard to show Jesus to people. And the one thing is having a life of forgiveness, having an attitude of forgiveness, even when things are going wrong. You see, I grew up in a total different environment. I grew up under somebody who was, man, if you did something wrong, you're going to get lashed with the tongue at minimum. If you didn't rake that hay perfectly straight, you're in trouble. That's the way I grew up. But I see a Jesus that even when he was attacked and even when he was persecuted, he didn't attack back. Even when he went through the worst time, can you imagine going to your hometown and they want to kill you? And what does the Bible say? He walked through the crowd and disappeared. He got out of there. Jesus could have turned around and just killed them all right there. That's what he could have done. He could have condemned them all right there, but here's what he says in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God loved the world so much, he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God loved us. Can we not love other people the same way? How filthy and how nasty you are, and God loves you. Can you not do the same for other people? But here's the thing that we don't read is verse 17. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. What does Scripture say? The Scripture says, they will know you are my disciples on how you love each other. Not how you love the world, how you love each other. When you come into this church, when you walk out of this church, when you're on our GroupMe page, when you're on any other social media, when you see each other, how you love each other and show that love. It's difficult, I understand. Even people in church are going to get aggravated with. But you want to know something? This is what I say to myself. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to be upset? Is it worth it to judge that person because they did something I didn't like? Because they said something I didn't like? Or maybe I should say, you know what? I'm not going to do that because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I have greater things to do in this world than to sit here and judge the people I'm sitting next to. Somebody walks in this church, that has been in this church for 2 years and they reek of alcohol, we don't sit there and go, yep, there we go. See, we knew they couldn't make it. No, instead we put our arms around them and we say, hey, what happened last night? How can I pray with you right now? How can I be there for you? And you know what? I'm going to be there for you next Saturday night when you're going through the same thing, and I'm going to make sure you don't do it again. That's it. That's where we've got to be. We don't judge them, but we bring our arms around and we love them, because the Bible says that he does not want anybody to perish. But why should Christians be the only people that shoot their wounded? We don't do that. Preacher, you're preaching to the choir. You may be the choir right now, but wait till somebody next to you does something you don't like. You'll remember what I preached this morning and be like, oh, preacher said it. Pastor said, boy, I want to slap them right now, but praise God. Everybody out there is going to know that you are his disciples, how you love each other. And when I get a call from somebody, because it happens from time to time, well, this person, da 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 da, and I'm like, and? Have you ever done anything wrong? Have you ever aggravated somebody? Have you ever made somebody upset? It's real easy for us to get that speck out of somebody else's eye when we got this plank stuck right here, sticking way out. I saw this cartoon, and this guy's walking around, got this big plank sticking out everywhere. He's knocking everything over. Oh, yeah, you're wrong, you're wrong. And at the same time, he's just causing all kinds of chaos. Secondly, as a Christian, don't argue with an unholy person. Verse 6 said, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to the pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. Well, Pastor, I thought we're supposed to witness to people. Yes, witness to people. Don't argue with them. Doesn't do you any good. If you argue with the fool, you just become a fool yourself. Why have I taught you the Columbo tactic of asking questions when we went through that on Wednesday night? Ask questions, ask questions, ask. Be sincere. You're not there to argue with them. You're not there to prove anything to them. What you're there for is to give them an alternative viewpoint. It's called a Christian worldview. You're giving them an alternative viewpoint. They have to make that decision. Come on, anybody in here who's made a salvation decision, nobody made it for you. You made it for yourself. How do you think you're going to make it for them? And I also tell people, if you save them, you got to keep them. But if God saves them, God's got to keep them. I'm not saying don't drag them to church. Hey, if you got friends, family members, try to get them here. Bring them into church. Try to get them around and let them see what other Christians are like. And they'll go, maybe I want to be like that. Maybe I want that relationship, because the relationships I have in the world right now, they just keep on not working out right. But don't go around arguing with others. It's not going to do you any good. It's not going to be successful. You're going to just cause yourself to get dirty. Did you see what it says? It's like, don't throw your pearls to pigs. They'll trample on the pearls, then turn and attack you. What does it mean? You're going to get muddy too. You wrestle with a pig, you're going to get what's the pig's got, right? You're going to get all muddy. So don't do that. Instead, show them the love of Jesus. Sometimes I have talked to people that start to get upset, and I'll just change the subject. I'm not going to argue with them. I'll just change the subject. Hey, man, what do you think the Hogs are going to do this year on the football field? Huh? What? Let's move on. I'll come back to that later. We'll get back to it at the time that I can. If the devil, because a lot of times, let me tell you something, the devil's working hard. You're working hard. The devil's working hard too. Don't give him a foothold. Don't wrestle with those people. Now, lastly, we're going back to the judging. Treat others as you want to be, as you want them to treat you. Matthew 7:12. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. You know, the Pharisees had to be sitting here going, huh? No, we're better. No, he says, treat others as you want to be treated. Treat others as you want to be treated. When you look at that, do you want to get yelled at? Do you want to be talked bad about? Do you want to be gossiped about? See, you're like, well, he didn't see me. Can I tell you about Sean? Yeah, let me tell you. No. treat others, do you want to be gossiped about? Do you want to be slandered? Do you want to be cut down? Do you want people to look at you a certain way? Then don't do it to others. Instead, find ways of building each other up. The Bible says that we're supposed to encourage each other. The Bible says that we're supposed to edify the church. We're supposed to edify each other. He even had to tell us this in the working of the spiritual gifts. He said that those gifts are to edify the church. They're not for your own good and your own gain. It's to lift up the church. It's to help the church. He didn't say don't use these things. He said just use them correctly. So when you see another person, when it goes back to judging, but it's more than just judging, it's treat them the way you want to be treated. Treat them the way you want to be treated. I grew up on a farm. I would go into church on a Wednesday night many times, not ever getting to the house. Granny Joe would pick us up on the way by, and on the Highway 27 there, we would jump off the tractor, run up to the road, jump in the car, and go to church. And I'd stink. I'd smell bad. I'd be dirty. I'd have hay all over me. I'd have, you know, hogs all over me, whatever it was that we were having to do that day. And I would go to church. It was embarrassing even to me because, you know, I was a dress-up guy. I like to go to church. I like to dress up. I like to look nice, you know. But, I can relate to that. Whether you can relate to it or not, I don't know. But when somebody comes in this church and they stink because they've been working all day, I say, praise God, they're here. I don't sit there and go, could they have went home and taken a shower? I don't care. Praise God, they're here. Because you want to know something? That'll pass. That'll pass. But can I say something? If somebody's in our services, if somebody's here and they're loving Jesus, let me tell you something. God can touch them. And I love what Pastor Cimbala said when he hugged that lady that had was sitting in the church after his third church service. He was so exhausted, and he allowed the Holy Spirit to minister this lady, even though at first he was like, God, I'm exhausted. I don't have time for this. And she comes over, and she reeks of urine, and she reeks of all these things because she's been on the sidewalk all night, probably for days. And he says the Holy Spirit turned that into a fragrance. And he began to weep as he prayed for this lady. He began to weep. See, if we will stop looking at others and saying, keep your hands off, but instead say, you know what? If I was in that situation, I hope that somebody would take the time to love me. Hope somebody would take the time to pray with me, to talk with me. I hope somebody will do that. Well, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. See, if we begin to walk like Christ in the way we treat people, that's going to make the biggest difference in the world. Yeah, the last six Sundays that we went over this, we've went over a lot of different things of living like Christ, being an image of Christ because people are watching. But I think when it comes down to it, when he gets towards the end of the Beatitudes, why does he say treat others like you want to be treated? Because in the end, that's what all this comes up. He says, this sums up what is taught in the law and the prophets. What did he say? He was saying this because the Pharisees are listening. He's saying all those books, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all that you've been reading, you know, and the other books throughout the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament today. Hey, this is the essence of what it is. Treat everybody the same. Treat everybody like you want to be treated. Love them. Care about them because that's the way you want to be treated. I want us to always be, as Christians, different than the world. And I don't want to be like another church. I want to be like Jesus. That's what I want to be like. I want people to walk through the doors of this church and go, there's something different here. There's something different here. And we have people today that are in this church, like Errol. He walked in this church and he's like, there's something different in this church. And Errol will tell you, he'll testify to you many times as he tried to turn around and walk away from it because it didn't make any sense to him. It's hard to comprehend when you haven't had love like this before. It's because you're used to having your own back. And you go, wait a minute, I got people that have my back, people that love me and care about me no matter what. What the devil tries to do is, it can't be real. That love can't be real. It's got to be fake. They're gonna do something to me. And that's why in our vision, that's why the very first part of it is to be a safe place for people to experience the presence of God. Because there's too many places that are not safe for people to experience God and to be set free. Not to be accepted as you are and stay in that sin. It is a place where God's presence will come and He will move in your life and He will convict you. I won't convict you. If you think that anything I preach up here convicts you, no, it is the Holy Spirit that convicts you. It's the Holy Spirit. So we don't need to worry about the person next to us on the pew. We don't need, even if it's our spouse and we had a fight with them on the way to church, we don't need to worry about them. We need to go, God, how could I have done that differently this morning? How could I have acted differently? What could I have said differently? How? Because you know what? It takes two to tango is what I've heard. What could I have done differently? Lord, help me to get the plank out of mine and help me to treat others the way I want to be treated. Lord, I pray, God, that You will make me so focused and so caring about people that when I want to treat them a different way than what You would want me to treat them, that I will stop. And I will say, I wouldn't want to be treated that way. I'm not going to treat them that way. I wouldn't want to be gossiped about like that. I'm not going to gossip about them. I wouldn't want that to be said about me. I don't want to slander them. I wouldn't say that to me. If they said that to me, boy, I'd want to punch them in the face. So maybe I shouldn't say it to them. We're going to be like Christ. They will know you're disciples of Jesus by the way you love each other. They're going to see that and they're going to want to be a part of that. I believe it. There's too many people like, I grew up in church. I don't want nothing to do with church because they didn't have this kind of Christianity, the love of Christ for each other. Father, we thank You for this service this morning. We thank You for what You're doing in people's lives. Lord, we continue to lift up those that are hurting, that are not here. Lord, these children we've been praying for this morning, Lord, we lift them up in the name of Jesus, and we declare victory, and we declare deliverance in the name of Jesus, Lord. We do not stand by idly, but we stand by together firmly, Lord, with our feet planted. And the Word of God says, when you've done everything that you can do, you put on the full armor of God, when you've done everything that you can do, stand. Don't retreat. We don't retreat. Satan, we don't retreat this morning. We stand. We stand on the Word of God. We stand on the promises of God. They are yes and they are amen. We stand on them this morning. We know, God, You are doing great and mighty things, that through You all things are possible if we'll just believe. Lord, we believe. Your Scripture says, knock and it will be open. The door will be open to you. The Scripture says, ask and you will receive. We're going to ask, and as the Scripture says there, ask and keep on asking. Ask and ask, we're going to keep on asking. Lord, we're going to keep on knocking until You open that door and we hear the answer come through, Jesus. We're not going to stop until we get the answer that we need, God. And so we stand together this morning as a church for these needs that we have prayed for already this morning. And Lord, as we leave this place this morning, God, if we have anything inside of us that's not like You, anything that would keep us from being the kind of Christian brothers and sisters to each other that we should be, Father, convict us of it. Convict us of it, Lord, and let us come to a point of surrender to You and forgive us for those things that we've allowed to have control of our lives. Change us and make us into the kind of image You want us to be. For here, for our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and as we walk out the doors of this church, Lord, that we will be an example of Christ. We will be an image of Christ. People will say, that person's different. What's different about them? Lord, any kind of sin that is besetting any person in this place, Lord, any kind of addiction that is besetting a person in this place this morning, Lord, we bind it and we rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Right now, if you're struggling with something in your heart and in your mind, I just ask you just to give it to Jesus this morning. Say, God, I need this changed in my life. I need this changed in my life. I don't want to continue doing this. Don't take an attitude of, I can't. Take an attitude of, God can. Because God can do it through you. He can deliver you. He can help you to walk the path he's called you to walk. This morning, Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord, for Becky Adams as she is going to get her kids. Lord, we pray that you'll supply our needs according to your riches and glory. We ask, Lord, that you will help her kids as they have had to deal with this throughout the summer, Lord, as they come back. Lord, we do ask for all of our missionaries, wherever they are throughout the world, keep them safe in your hands and give them the ability to witness, Lord, and that your kingdom will prosper because of it. Lord, as the girls are coming back from Nicaragua tomorrow, Father, and today, as they're visiting and doing things, I know they've been touched. It's been an amazing experience, and they've been able to touch a lot of people's lives. God, keep them safe on their way back. Bring them back here safely. We're excited to have them back. And Lord, I just pray for those in our church this morning that are sick, that have sickness in their body. I pray that you'll bring life and life more abundant into their body, bring healing into their body. And we ask all these things this morning as a church in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Now, everybody, before you leave, this evening is for Sunday fun and fellowship. I got somebody there. For Sunday fun and fellowship. Bring a dish, 6 o'clock, bring something enjoyable that you like to eat. Bring that dish. And then if you want to do something, you know, we'll have David telling some jokes this evening. If you want to sing a song, if you want to do a dance, if you want to do a skit, it's just fun. It doesn't matter how good you are or not. That has nothing to do with it. It's fun and fellowship tonight at 6 o'clock. Be here. This Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we'll have our Bible study, so be here, and we'll enjoy that. And guys, since I'm going to be gone I'm going to be gone that next Saturday when we normally have men's. Let's have men's this Saturday. Does that sound good? Everybody want to have men's this Saturday? Those that are going to be here in town, if you're going to be here in town, can I get a thumbs up from anybody? Okay, I got a few. All right, this Saturday here at the church, 7:30. 7:30 a.m. here at the church, we'll have our men's breakfast and fellowship. So that's going on this week, and we just got great things for God to do. It's going to be hot this week, so don't get too hot out there. If you're on the roof, you'll know what I mean. Drink lots of water. All right, we love you. Love y'all, and hope to see you tonight, 6 o'clock, fun and fellowship tonight.